The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. We're going to play for you a really fascinating conversation that I had about a week ago at the NRB in Dallas. It was about critical race theory and social justice and biblical justice, and it was extremely informative. A lot of people praised it, and I said, we got to put it on the program. So it's a panel I did with Vody Baucom Jr. and Charlie Kirk, and the moderator is Owen Strawn. Here it is.
I see what the pastors of tomorrow are being taught. So I'm trying to radically and sometimes provocatively tell the body of Christ we have to rethink the way that we pass down our values to the next generation. You don't need a certificate to succeed in America. You don't need to say that you went to some college to be a good person. I care about whether you're saved, whether you have character, and whether you want to do something in your life, not if you went to Harvard and if you want to do something like that. So.
Yeah, what was the question, Owen?
America is a white supremacist order, our youth are being told. So how do we counter that idea?
Well, it's kind of funny because there's many ways to counter it. The first thing you have to do is you have to loudly and forcefully say, that's a lie. I think that oftentimes we rely too much on reason, and sometimes you just have to kind of push people back and say, that is a lie, and put the onus on them. You could say, that's a lie, that's a pernicious lie, that's a satanic lie, that is evil. Don't say that again. Explain to me how that is true, and explain to me where you get the right even to say such a foul, untrue thing. There are many reasons for this, but I didn't really understand this fully until I wrote a book called If You Can Keep It, The Forgotten Promise of American Liberty. And in it, I was forced myself to really see what I had kind of been missing over the decades. And so, you know, I got the best miseducation you could get. I went to Yale University, which is exactly where you would go to learn how the global anti-American elites think. So I learned to speak that language. I got those ideas in. Then I became a Christian. But it still took me a long time to get comfortable with what I now know to be true, and to understand how dramatically over at least 50 years, I mean, the 60s was the watershed moment when all of these evil ideas kind of bubbled into the public realm. And of course, they've been bubbling, and you know, this is trickle-down evil, right? This is cultural trickle-down theory, where you see these ideas, you know, they're brought in by Marcuse and Gramsci, and there's certain people talking about them in faculty lounges and stuff, and Derrida, right? And then they trickle down. So when I bumped in all this stuff in the 80s at Yale, this was not yet out in the public, but I've watched it come out into the public so that now people are even using terms. I mean, one thing for me that I notice is when people use terms like hegemony or intersectionality or any of that, I just feel like saying, hey, shut up, like speak English. Because all those words are sophistry. They're designed to skew your thinking a little bit, to knock you off balance. So like, now I got to talk about critical race theory or systematic, and be like, those are called weasel words. You know what weasel words are, right? They're empty words. A weasel, you know, theoretically they would suck the interior of an egg out, right? So a weasel word is like an egg that's hollow. And weasel words are like that. And the left does that. They come up with these terms. So anytime anybody talks about privilege, it's like, that's not a thing. Shut up, go back, find like the real word, and let's talk about it. But these are invented ideas. And so that's kind of, you know, that's part of what has happened. But I bumped into this stuff first at Yale, and it took me decades really to perceive that we have been pushing these ideas out. So for me, Charlie said it's the parents to blame. I agree. It is always the leaders. If you look at what happened in 1968, when the students took over the universities, okay? It is just like today, if a city burns down, that's not, to me, that's not on the people doing the burning. That's not on the people doing the burning. That's on the people who are supposed to stop them, not stopping them. It's very simple. If you do not have the guts, if you do not have the ability to say that is wrong, and we will crush you if you try to disturb private property, you try to do anything like that. But the leaders have imbibed these false views, going back to the 60s where people said, don't trust anybody over 30. It's a Rousseauian idea. It's a utopianist scheme that says the youth are pure. The Bible says the youth are hell-bound sinners. Those things can't coexist. But in the 60s, you have a situation where these leaders of Columbia University, these different places, did not have the ability to stand up to the students and let these arrogant thugs, you know, these are cultural Marxists, these are cultural revolutionaries under Mao. We've seen them through history. They're the same ones that created the bloodbath of the French Revolution. It's always these shock troops, and then there are people who say, like, oh, they've got the truth, and let's let them have their say. You cannot let the devil have his say. You cannot let the devil have a millimeter. If you do, you're a fool. And the fact of the matter is, we have allowed this to happen and these anti-American ideas to come in, and it's why today we have an entire population that is not conversant in the basics of what is self-government and liberty and why is it beautiful and good and doesn't need to be perfect. It's just way better than anything else. So I tried to answer the question, and I failed. Thank you.
No, you did well. Thank you. We're concluding here in just a moment, but we need to say a couple things. We need to say that Uncle Tom 2, the documentary, is coming out this fall on Salem Now. It's featuring Vody so extensively. I think you had like a crew filming you and all that sort of thing, right? At some years, that must have been cool. Okay, so you want to check for Uncle Tom 2. Uncle Tom 1 has had a major effect, and Uncle Tom 2 will as well. Excellent work by Salem. And then we want to say a quick thank you to Tim Peterson, who's the president of Salem Books. If we could have a hand for Tim Peterson. He has acquired a number of us up here and is really leading the counter-revolution in a lot of ways, because books do that in a free society. So we're very thankful, many of us, for Tim. And I want to just conclude here. We have literally 1 minute, but I want each of you to give us 15 seconds on the antidote for what ails us. And we'll start with Eric and finish with Vody.
Speaking of Salem Books, I have a book coming out in October called Is Atheism Dead? And I've never been as excited about a book. And it is the answer to this question, because the cover of the book essentially is a snake, you know, eating itself, biting its own tail, right? That's what false ideology is. If you push it to its logical conclusion, it swallows itself, disappears with a pop, and you'll never see it again. And it is our job to point that out. These things cannot sustain themselves. God is truth. And we just need to, in every way we can, with moral fiber and courage, continue to live out the truth and speak the truth and trust the Lord and be led by the Holy Spirit, because there are 100 answers to this. But I know that you cannot go wrong speaking the truth and trusting the Lord to use you as you do, and having the confidence that you cannot fail. He defeated death on the cross. There is nothing to be to fear but displeasing the Lord.
Amen. 10 seconds each. Yeah.
It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to give something up. Social status, a country club membership, some of your Facebook friends. You're going to be called bad names. If you're not in the fight, here's the way to tell that if you're living a comfortable life and everyone loves you.
Amen.
People are looking for things like justice, mercy, and reconciliation. The good news is we know the only place they can find that.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer, something we stand for. Thank you, gentlemen. Would you join me in thanking these gentlemen overall?
Hey, folks, this is Eric Metaxas. You have heard me talking about Nutramedics, the professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993, and which donates a minimum of 50% of their profits to global charities and missions. Now, look, I want to support a company like that, and I want to take care of my health at the same time. I would think that you should too. So I especially want to recommend Nutramedics' Detox Support Kit. During checkout, go to Nutramedics.com, N-U-T-R-A-M-E-D-I-X.com, and use the code ERIC for 20% off. Nutramedics.com, ERIC is the code for 20% off. Hey folks, are you concerned about memory loss for you or a loved one? Viva Laura's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss because her mother had dementia. After many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan Gibson created Viva Laura Memory Support. Viva Laura is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit VivaLaura.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. VivaLore is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. That's VivaLore, VivaLore.com. Check it out. Remember, VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. VivaLore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R at VivaLore.com. Enter promo code 20 for 20% off. VivaLore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Georgie girl, swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there
inside you.
Hey there, Georgie girl, why do all the boys just pass you by?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm coming to you from just a studio, but my guest is coming to you from a moving vehicle. Dr. Simone Gold, welcome to the program.
Hi, Eric. We are indeed moving. We're on the America's Frontline Doctors Uncensored Truth Tour.
You are on a tour. Obviously, you're on a tour. This is amazing. What is the name of the tour again?
Uncensored Truth.
Uncensored Truth. And we're living in strange times that's not redundant. We actually have to go out of our way to say Uncensored Truth. You and I met, strangely, a few weeks ago in California. You happened to be driving by my hotel. It was kind of an amazing serendipitous, would be the secular way of perceiving what happened. You are Jewish. You're not a Christian, as far as I know. But we agree pretty dramatically on what I want to talk to you about today. So let's talk about that. You're a lawyer and you're a doctor, a medical doctor. So What is your life about for the last year, the last 6 months? What are you talking about on this tour?
Right. I started seeing that there's so much disinformation, censorship, and lies that were being told to the American people that it was really threatening people's health and it was threatening the liberty of our nation. And I think where you and I agree, and a lot of us agree, is for me, this is a God versus no God kind of battle that we're in. And it's difficult for human beings to fight successfully if they're consumed 24/7 with lies and disinformation. So I see my role in this fight as bringing the truth, the scientific truth and the legal truth, to light.
I just find it funny, Simone, that, you know, the other day I've had Naomi Wolf on the program a couple of times. She's Jewish, liberal, feminist, but she's exactly where we are on these things. You're Jewish. I just find it amazing that the culture at large
tries to say that it's white evangelicals that have problems with the vaccine. And I would even say, I don't really have a problem with the vaccine. I have a problem with the idea that people are telling me I can't talk about it. I can't refuse to get it. I shouldn't refuse to get it. It's weird in America, and this is why I love you so much. Your voice is so powerful and important. People in America need to understand this is not okay. People cannot tell you things, and they certainly can't tell you not to question things, especially when it concerns your own body. So when did you wake up to this?
The problem with the experimental COVID shots is not a vaccine or non-vaccine issue. All of my career, I've been vaccinated. My children have been vaccinated. This is not a vaccine issue. This is an issue of medical tyranny being imposed in such a way that it's harming individuals. It's also harming the nation because it's done away with, like, the right of Fourth Amendment, which is bodily integrity. People are giving away that right because there have been such disinformation. There's essentially no free speech around the issue. That's the fight that we're in. It's not a vaccine fight. From a medical perspective, of course you cannot rush out experimental shots to hundreds of millions of people and expect everything to go well. They're trying to rush these shots out to children. We've never rushed out experimental shots to children. It's ludicrous.
I mean, it seems ludicrous when you hear the facts, but the problem and the reason you're having to go on an uncensored truth tour is that suddenly we're being told, no, 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 things are different now. You can't talk about that. There's something, I mean, it's like the Nazis are trying to bomb us and we're saying we don't want to put blackout curtains on our windows. We want our light to shine. That would be an appropriate time for the government to say, sorry, but we don't want the Nazis to bomb our cities. You're going to have to comply. And in that case, most Americans would say, you know what? Yes, you have to comply with what the government's telling you. This is not that kind of a case, but they've tried to inflate it into that kind of a life or death issue. So how do you, from a doctor's perspective, see it?
Actually, that's an excellent analogy. And the medical answer to your analogy is that the CDC has already sent data that this is a non-lethal trivial virus. Specifically, unless you're at or near or exceeded your life expectancy, this is non-lethal. Per the CDC, if you're young, healthy, or middle-aged, reasonably healthy, and even older and healthy, your chance of surviving SARS-CoV-2 is almost 100%. Literally, per the CDC, they released numbers May 5th. Again, it shows 99.5% survivability between age 50 and 70, and over age 70, it's almost 95%, and with early treatment, it's almost 100%. All the people that have died from COVID-19 are at or exceeded life expectancy with rare exception. That's why your analogy is so apropos. There is no public health emergency that would require human beings to submit to experimental medications.
And also the politicization of this issue. I mean, the idea that President Trump mentions hydroxychloroquine and suddenly the cognoscenti lose their minds and decide they must be against it. It's almost like he said, I take aspirin, and they just said aspirin is evil. No one can take aspirin. I mean, explain what happened with hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the moment he mentioned it, then the media came out against it. And that's, by the way, how I knew that the media and doctors and often pharmacists had already drunk the Kool-Aid, because there was no argument to be made. It's been FDA approved for 65 years. We give it to babies, infants, pregnant women, nursing mothers, the elderly, and the immune compromised. Those two groups take it for decades and decades without incident. It's one of the safest drugs on the planet. It's safer than Tylenol. Tylenol is actually the number one reason we have liver transplants in this nation. So there's no comparison. Hydroxychloroquine is very, very safe. So never, never believe that. The reason the hatred towards hydroxychloroquine exists is because the only way to roll out an experimental vaccine so rapidly is if there was no other approved treatment. So unless they put the kibosh on hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide, they couldn't roll out experimental shots to all of humanity.
So
this
that's
is a crime,
okay.
Crime against humanity.
So people need to understand that there's an arbitrary medical rule that says you want to rush out an experimental vaccine. Okay, if you do that, the only way we will give you permission to do that is if there is no treatment. And they said, okay, we'll go along with that. So even the things that are treatments, we'll say that they're not treatments. And if we say that hydroxychloroquine and whatever it is, ivermectin or whatever these other things, if we say that those things can't be used and they are not treatments, you'll let us rush out this vaccine. So that's literally what happened.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. I want to emphasize that this is not a political situation. This was the only political aspect to it was a belief that Trump got in the way of this plan. The way you know this isn't actually political is Trump keeps saying things like, you know, to get the vaccine. He's very proud of the Operation Warp Speed effect. But most of the people that formally voted for Trump, right, they're not behind that bandwagon because they do think of themselves. And they're saying you are the experimental shot for which there's a virus.
You were breaking up there. I just want to say that I think, you know, if anybody can speak ill of Trump, I would say that he was so excited about his ability to get this done when nobody said it could get done, that he just, you know, went crazy in a good way, as he does, to solve a problem. But then what he lost sight of, and he allowed the media to get this narrative out there, is the idea that the reason we're going crazy to get this experimental thing out there is in case people are dying and there's no help, we can give them this experimental thing to save their lives. That was the idea. It wasn't to give it to everybody. You don't give experimental cancer treatments, you know, to people who aren't dying of cancer.
Right. So from a political perspective, his business and scientific accomplishment with Operation Warp Speed was certainly an accomplishment. However, I believe it's been hijacked in service of tyrannical rule to take down our nation, quite frankly. We got rid of the First Amendment. You can't talk about it. And the Fourth Amendment, bodily integrity. I believe Operation Warp Speed was hijacked.
You believe Operation Warp Speed was hijacked by whom?
Was hijacked by people with an intention to take down the Constitution. Operation Warp Speed was a scientific and political accomplishment. It was really quite amazing that he could put all this together, right, and get all these pieces in place to roll out anything, really, in a few months. I mean, that's really amazing. On the other hand, I don't believe the president ever intended that Americans should be forced to take an experimental vaccine. Every day we're reading articles about governors offering free college, free money, lottery, ice cream. New York City, they're going to vaccinate in public schools. They've even passed laws in local municipalities saying that children 12 and over can consent without their parents' knowledge.
Okay, that is flat out unconstitutional. That makes me want to get my gun, and I don't even own a gun. But let me tell you, the idea that they would say that, that 12-year-olds can do that, that violates everything, every law. I don't understand. How can they possibly say that?
If you're growing up in the USSR or you're growing up in China, you understand that the children belong to the government. That's the movement that's going on right now. I mean, wake up, America. They're trying to take over, and you can see it clear as day. San Francisco passed a rule within 1 week of it being rolled out to children that you could give these shots to children without their parents' knowledge. It's unbelievable. This is happening in multiple municipalities, not just San Francisco. Boston is another one.
Can I grab children off the street and have them baptized at my church without their parents' knowledge? Could I do that?
Right. Exactly.
Why not? It's a free country. I could do whatever I want. Right. This is so crazy. The sound quality is not great, Dr. Simone Gold, so we're going to let it go with that. We want to get you back because it is wonderful to talk to you. We love you and what you're doing. God bless you. To be continued. Folks, I'm at the NRB. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Neil Harmon. He's the CEO of Angel Studios. Neil, I understand that you hate Hollywood. We have that in common. What is Angel Studios?
So Angel Studios allows creators and to answer to their community rather than Hollywood.
It sounds like a bullet point, like a slogan. What do you mean by that?
That means, have you ever heard of The Chosen?
The Chosen TV series?
Yes.
Starring Jesus?
Yes.
I've never heard of it.
So The Chosen was funded by 19,000 people. Season one was funded by the audience, by their community. And then Angel Studios provided a distribution platform to take that to the world.
Gee, I wonder if we could do this, Chris. Chris Himes is here, my producer. What a great idea. When I heard about this, you know, I'm not up on everything. I understand crowdfunding and stuff. But the idea that you were able to fund something, which everyone I talk to says is fantastic. The Chosen, you can find it online. There's an app. But it's really super high quality.
And you have funded it that way. And so you're doing other things that way, or is this the main thing you're doing right now?
So, no, before The Chosen, our first project was called Dry Bar Comedy, which gets over a billion views a year.
Dry Bar Comedy?
Yep.
What does that mean?
It's just stand-up comedy that's funny for everybody.
So
family
no
safe, brand safe. Yep.
How can you be funny without the F-bombs? Really? Today? In this day and age? No, come on. But so it's called Dry Bar Comedy. How do I find that?
Just drybarcomedy.com.
Drybarcomedy.com.
Yep.
So you funded that, and what part of that needs to be funded? I mean, you need a brick wall and a microphone, so what are you doing? The distribution is funded?
So we shot over 300 stand-up comedians from all over North America, and then we built out a distribution mechanism for it. Other projects that we've done recently are a Freedom series, an animated series about freedom. It's called The Tuttle Twins. So like a mixture between The Simpsons and The Magic School Bus. It's educational and it's super funny.
The Simpsons and The Magic School Bus. My head's exploding. and it's called The Tuttle Twins. And you're working on other projects. What else? What's in the pipeline, as we say in showbiz?
We just, Andrew Peterson wrote the series The Wing Feather Saga.
The Wing Feather Saga?
Yes.
That sounds iffy. What is that about?
It sounds
like some kind of a fantasy trilogy.
It is.
The Wing
books.
Feather Saga. Does it have kind of like Tolkien writing on it and stuff? Yeah, I hate that stuff. Go ahead.
There's four books, so you can be in on this one. There's not three.
Okay, if I can be in on it, then I like it.
Okay.
So, but do you have other stuff? I mean, this is a lot already that you're talking about.
Wing Feather just closed a $5 million round to make their first season. Tuttle Twins, the same. We did a round for freelancers, The Shift. But we plan to do 300 projects over the next 5 years that are driven by the crowd and the community rather than by the Hollywood system.
And why 5 years? Because you just have, like, you figured out that Jesus is descending on a golden cloud and it's game over at that point?
No.
What is this about?
No, that's we just see that gap in the market. There's a lot of darkness and cynicism in the market.
And we're not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's kind of funny because people are so hungry for this. So now if people go to, is there a website for Angel Studios?
Angel.com.
Angel.com. How did you get that?
It cost us $2 million.
$2 million to get angel.com? I think that's worth it. That's pretty amazing. That's five letters, a recognizable word, .com. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
$2 million, though. I don't know. Neil Harmon, how did you become the head of Angel Studios? What were you doing before this season in your life?
My brothers and I co-founded an ad agency. It's called Harmon Brothers.
It's called what?
Harmon Brothers. Yeah, we made ads for Squatty Potty, The Purple Mattress, Poopery, Chapbooks. You've seen some
Any
of these
non-fecal,
ads.
Any non-fecal products?
I gave you two.
I must not have been listening. So most of your products were not fecally oriented. And you
Most
know what? That's
them.
A plus. That's a plus. Because more than 50% fecally oriented products, that could, you know, brand you the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah.
But, okay. Yeah. So, and you said, enough of this crap. We're going to do TV. So let me ask you, you were an ad. Where did you grow up? What part of the country did you grow up in?
I'm a farm boy from Idaho.
Farm boy from Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and did you ever think you'd be doing something like this? This
Absolutely
is kind of amazing.
Not. This
Where do you
not...
live now?
So I live now about an hour south of Salt Lake City.
An hour south of Salt Lake City. And so, yeah, you're not exactly in Hollywood.
No.
And that's a positive thing. You're in touch with the heartland.
Yep.
Well, okay, so angel.com. Can all the things you've mentioned, can we find them there?
Yes, you can. Or you can go look up the Chosen app or the Dry Bar Comedy app.
I'm excited about the Dry Bar Comedy thing. That's so great. How long has that been going?
It's been going since 2017.
And that's just online, obviously.
Yeah, well, it's available. I mean, you can search for it on Roku. It's on Sirius XM Radio. It's on It's on iTunes. It's everywhere.
Isn't it fascinating how the market has just fractured and we have no idea where it's going to go, but it's so dramatically different than where we were. I think we're going to go to a break. Folks, I'm talking to Neil Harmon, CEO of Angel Studios. You can go to angel.com. Seriously, angel.com. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Remember to go to Nutramedics.com and to use the code ERIC, and they've just got all your non-drug needs, but in pill form. We'll be back.
There's talk on the street. It sounds so familiar.
I'm talking to Neil Harmon, the CEO of Angel Studios. This is exciting and encouraging, Neil, to think that you are producing great content and you've figured out how to fund it to go directly to the people. And now how does that work? Okay, let's say I want to do a show. There's crowdsourcing available, but I mean, how do you do that? You said, you know, you've just completed a round to raise $5 million for the what is it, the feather
wing feather saga for Tuttle Twins.
And so how do you do that? What do you offer? I'm just curious how this works.
You go to angel.com, and there's a button there that says apply to fund my project. You need to have a short film or a pilot.
You mean people can go to angel.com to get their stuff funded? In other words, you are going to be like a studio that says if you want to be part of this and you've got something significant. And obviously, you guys have to vet that. You're not letting anybody come in with junk to fund it.
Yeah, so it's all crowd-powered. So the crowd determines what gets published. The crowd determines
You will let somebody come in with junk, and then you'll let the market determine.
No. It's not going to be junk because the crowd. So the
no, people... that, but that's what I'm saying. If somebody comes in with a lousy pilot, you're letting the market, which is to say the people who come to angel.com, by not funding it, they're telling you we don't like it.
That's right. Right.
That's interesting. Using the free market to your advantage.
Yeah.
I like that idea. And so how many people come traditionally to you? I mean, it seems like, the people listening to this program are suddenly going to say, hey, I got a short film in my dresser drawer. Let me pull that out and put it up there and see what happens.
So we get requests daily, and we have a process for people to apply and to be able to have the chance to be funded.
But I mean, it's really exciting that you're doing it that way. You're not just doing it for the projects that you have initiated, but you're letting other folks come in.
Well, we think that that the audience, the community, is going to know better than a few executives in Hollywood as to what's going to succeed.
Well, we know that's true, and it's kind of funny that it is true. You probably are familiar with William F. Buckley once said rather famously that he would rather be governed by the first 300 names in the Boston phone book than by the faculty of Harvard University. And what he was making an important point in a clever way, that, you know, your average folks, they've got common sense and they know a lot more than the elites do because they're in touch with reality. And that's what this country was founded on, the people governing themselves, not being governed by elitist globalist cabals. Not that there's, if anybody's a member of an elitist globalist cabal, I'm not here to offend you. You can worship Satan and do as you like, but I'm just saying in my world, that's a bad thing. So what can we look forward to? Because I'm really fascinated. This seems like a possible game changer for me, for the country, for the world, to have this as a possibility that creatives can just go do things and you can see what happens.
Yeah, what this means is that everybody out here can be part of stories that matter. You can have an impact on culture. You don't have to sit by the sidelines.
So even if you don't have an idea, if you're not a creative, you can go there and see if you like something and send $100 to say, I want to invest in this. So let's say somebody puts in something, turns out to be a real dog, and it doesn't reach a certain level. Then obviously that money goes back to the people.
Correct. That's right.
So and who determines whether the funding being asked for is appropriate or whatever? Do you guys do that at Angel Studios? Or how does that? If somebody comes in,
there's an application review process to make sure that they have the right
budget.
Okay, so
this is not.
They have to.
This is not mob rule. This is ordered liberty. This is representative government, electoral college. There are a group of you that have to be involved. That's not a bad thing.
So the creator needs to actually publish the information,
right,
like what their budget is. They need to say how they're spending the money.
Yeah.
So we don't actually say your budget's incorrect or it's correct, but they need to be accountable to the audience and the community for what they're spending.
Well, of course.
And we see those as fixing themselves.
That's right. It sounds like a limited government operation. I like it. I'm still fascinated. When did you get the idea to do this? Because this is a really huge undertaking.
So the idea started in 2012 when some brothers, we thought, we want to create a product for our families.
This is you and your brother.
Yeah, there were four brothers that started
brothers,
the company originally. Yep.
But only two of you were in the ad agency that did the potty stuff.
Three.
Three?
Yep.
All right. And you said you want to do what?
So we wanted to create a way to show to our young kids popular Hollywood movies without the F-bombs. And then we thought if we attracted an audience that we allowed them to skip over things that they found offensive, that we would be able to create content for them that was better than what Hollywood was creating. So we created a company, and then the idea for the crowdfunding came when we were sued by Disney in 2016, and we were sued 2 weeks after we asked our audience whether or not they would be interested in investing in the company. Disney got wind of that, and they sued us to stop that funding. And we said, well, forget the funding. We just need to survive. Do you guys still want to invest? And we said, we need $5 million to beat this lawsuit. And they invested $10 million in 5 days. And one of the brothers, after that happened, he called me and he said, can you imagine if we applied this crowdfunding model to media?
And that's
where the idea said.
And nothing ever came of it.
That's right.
Are you kidding? Who wants that? And nothing ever happened. And America went down the tubes. Thank you very much. I'm kind of glad that that you, Neil Harmon, saw the possibility, because it is funny. People get ideas, but to actually execute on it, it's a big deal. This is a big idea. Angel.com is where folks can find you. We've got 30 seconds left. What else do we need to know?
We're shouting for hooray because that lawsuit's totally over.
The
whole thing's over.
Wow.
So we survived a Disney lawsuit, and it's onward and upward from here. So if you're a creator and you want to...
Yes, I am.
If you want to answer to your community rather than to Hollywood...
Yes, I do.
Then go to angel.com. And if you are a movie or film or TV series fanatic and you want to be part of stories that matter, then go to angel.com and back shows that
well,
you want to see.
Well, we're
going to
put some stuff up on there, and we'll bug my audience to see if they like it. This is a brilliant idea, a wonderful idea. Neil Harmon, God bless you, folks. Go to angel.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Whoa, Albin, it's just about the end of the show, but we've got some very exciting things before people go.
I know.
And it's got nothing to do with Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric. Nothing to do with Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric. Or mystore.com, mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. Nothing to do with that.
No.
I will not mention those things on this program today.
Here's
what I will mention.
Please.
There's a couple of people sailing around the world. I won't mention their names.
Don't.
But Brown and Eileen Council.
Really?
Those are their initials. They're in the studio making me nervous. Very old friends freaking me out by sitting here. I have no problem talking to an imaginary audience, folks. That's how I think of you. You're out there someplace. But when it's actual people that I know, it kind of freaks me out. I just want you to know that.
Yeah.
All right. So let me say this. Last night, I watched The Sons of Katie Elder, the movie with John Wayne.
Yeah.
People want to know, hey, Eric, what do you do in your sport? What do you do for fun? I collapse, I eat a meal, and sometimes I'll watch, TV. But what has TV become? Finally, as I knew it would, TV and streaming and everything has morphed into one thing. So do I flip around? Rarely, unless TBN, Turner Classic Movies, Turner Classic Movies is my go-to thing. But if they don't have something on, you know, I'll see what I can find on, Netflix or Amazon.
We go to BritBox.
We go to BritBox.
Yeah.
And we were watching Cranston. It's with Eileen. Who's the woman that I'm confusing with our guest in the studio? It's the British actress. Is it Eileen Atkins? Judy Dench.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, they're in this thing, and I'm watching. It's entertaining, but you know it's skewed for a female audience.
I
felt a little self-conscious.
Oh,
and after two episodes, I said, I can't do this anymore. Okay. I need to watch like a Western or something. So Suzanne and I found...
Get that testosterone
So
going.
Suzanne and I found The Sons of Katie Elder, 1965, Dean Martin, John Wayne. And it's not a great movie, but it's a very good movie. But there are a couple of lines in it. First of all, I always read the opening credits, who's going to be in it. And there were a couple of names. What's his name? Kennedy, who always plays the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. George Kennedy.
George Kennedy plays the bad guy. Man, is he just like a wicked monster. He's the bad guy. But there are all of these other character actors whose names I don't know. But then I noticed in the credits, Strother Martin.
Yeah.
Strother Martin is in all these. I can't even think, whatever. But there's a scene in the movie. There were a couple of lines in the movie, and I thought the movie was worth it to me for these like three lines. One of them was John Wayne is kind of arguing with Dean Martin about when they were kids. And he used to always throw me out of the hayloft and whatever. And John Wayne says, that's because I can't remember the exact line, but he says, you always throw me out of the hayloft. And he says, that's just because you bounced so good. Now, most people will think that's not funny. I find it funny. And we just want to see you bounce. You know, it was just so stupid.
By the way, your John Wayne is
I know, it's freaking people
it's
out.
Great,
if people listening on the radio, they think the Duke walked in here.
They think.
But then there was another one. Another one was referring to their mother, Katie Elder, and it said she had more brass than a Kansas City fire engine. I said, that's a keeper. I want to remember that line. Anyway, then there's a scene with Dean Martin where he's faking. He's a gambler and a con man, and he's trying to fool people. This is with Strother Martin. He's trying to fool people that he has a glass eye, and he's raffling it off, and he puts on an eye patch. So later on, he wins it back. And they say, well, we want to see you put it back in. And then the big reveal, he takes off the eye patch, and he says, I don't think I can do that because it'd be awful crowded in there. And I just thought, that's a brilliant way of putting it.
Yes.
But anyway, Sons of Katie Elder, we love to watch these movies. I want to remind people before we leave you for the day, in all seriousness, go to thewinepatch.org, thewinepatch.org. My friend Keith Junta, one of my dearest friends on the planet, does a lot of amazing writing, but he wrote about my experience at the Sean Foyt event the other day in the Bronx. Check it out, thewinepatch.org. We'll see you tomorrow.